The views and opinions expressed by Professor Porterfield do not necessarily reflect the views of the sponsors or their affiliates.
From deep in the heart of Texas, where the stars at night are big and bright, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield. Here to tell it like it was and how it is, to help school you so no one can fool you. Brought to you by the good folks at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in beautiful Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. So now, without further ado, here's Professor Porterfield. Good evening to you all, everyone. I am Professor Charles Porterfield, and hoodoo is my business. Welcome once again to the Now You Know Show. We are so very, very happy to have you here each and every week. And tonight, let me tell you something. Tonight, we have a very, very special guest who's going to be joining us in a little bit after the news. That's right. I have with me tonight the one, the only Ty Armand. That's right. A man of incredible skill, versatility, artistry, and power. And let me tell you something. He is coming to sit at the table with us tonight to talk turkey, sling hash, and get right down to the bone. So look for that in just a little bit. Before we go over to the LMC, Radio News Desk, I want to take a brief moment to wish each and every one of you a very happy holidays and a very happy Hanukkah. You know, a lot of folks talk about Hanukkah and they say, oh, the Festival of Lights, the Festival of Lights. The Festival of Lights and Fried Food. Quick, let's string up some lights, let's light some candles, and let's start frying something up. And it is the Festival of Lights, that is technically true. But for some of us, we remember it and come at it a little differently. We remember it as a victory, a celebration of a victory, a celebration of a regaining, a celebration of an end of a war, and of a continued survival against destruction, conquest, and assimilation. And this year, with all the things that are going on around us, it is a particularly poignant Hanukkah for me. It's my little grandson's third Hanukkah, and so they're just starting to understand it a little bit, but in the way children do, which is bright colored lights and fried foods and presents. But it is indeed my hope that as they grow older, they will come to understand it as a festival of survival. And these days, with the troubles that seem to mount about us, it is something that I at least need in my life. And I'm very fond of the song, "We Need a Little Christmas Right This Very Minute." You may know that if you're a fan of the various versions of the movie MAME, in particular the one with Lucille Ball, although I prefer the one with Rosalind Russell. But I feel like this year we need a little Hanukkah right this very minute to remind us that we cannot be conquered. To remind us that in the midst of what seems like defeat and oppression, a miracle can still happen here. As the little dreidel that my grandsons play with tells them. And so I hope that in this season of festivities and holidays and all of that wonderful, wonderful things, Christmas and Kwanzaa and solstice and Hanukkah and all the rest and Tet and all of the rest, I hope that you also find strength and comfort and solace and balm in the idea that we cannot be conquered. We will rise, and we will see that bright new day. So thank you for listening to me for just a little bit. I sure do appreciate it. And without further ado, let's take it right over to the LMC newsroom, already in progress. Good evening. Today is Thursday, December 18th, the 352nd day of the year. There are 3 days left until winter begins, and 13 days left in the year. Winter will begin with the solstice on the 21st at 6:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Today and tomorrow are auspicious days to engage in the following activities. 2. Quit smoking. To begin a diet to lose weight. To plant below ground crops. To breed animals. To can, pickle, or set up sauerkraut. To slaughter adult livestock, to wean animals and children, or to begin potty training children. All of these activities are particularly auspicious for today and tomorrow. On this date in history, in 1787, New Jersey became the third state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. In 1865, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, abolishing slavery, was declared in effect by Secretary of State William H. Seward. In 1892, Tchaikovsky's ballet The Nutcracker publicly premiered in St. Petersburg, Russia. In 1912, fossil collector Charles Dawson, no relation, reported to the Geological Society of London his discovery of supposed early human remains at a gravel pit in Pilton. More than 4 decades later, the Piltdown Man would be exposed as a hoax. In 1915, President Woodrow Wilson, widowed the year before, married Edith Bowling Galt at her Washington home. And in 1940, Adolf Hitler ordered secret preparations for Nazi Germany to invade the Soviet Union. Operation Barbarossa was launched in June of 1941. In 1958, the world's first communications satellite, SCORE, or Single Communication by Orbiting Relay Equipment, nicknamed Chatterbox, was launched by the United States aboard an Atlas rocket. In 1969, Britain's House of Lords joined the House of Commons in making permanent a 1965 ban on the death penalty for murder. And in 1972, the United States began heavy bombing of North Vietnamese targets during the Vietnam War. The bombardment would end 11 days later. Today's birthdays include actor-producer Roger Smith, who is 82. Blues musician Lonnie Brooks, who is 81. Actor Roger Mosley is 76. Rock singer, musician Keith Richards, who cannot be killed by mortal means, is 71. Writer-director Alan Rudolph is also 71. Movie producer and director Steven Spielberg is 68. Blues artist Ron Pizza is 67. Movie reviewer Leonard Maltin is 64. Rock musician Elliot Easton is 61. And brother, professional wrestler turned actor Stone Cold Steve Austin is 50. Actress Rachel Griffiths is 46. Country and rap singer Cowboy Troy is 44. Rapper DMX is also 44. Country singer Randy Houser is 38. Actor Josh Dallas, 36. Actress Katie Holmes, 36. Actress Ashley Benton, 25. This week's lucky numbers from ProfessorPorterfield.com are as follows. 4. 11. 12, 22, 43, and 55. Once again, this week's double-digit lucky numbers from ProfessorPorterfield.com are 4, 11, 12, 22, 43, and 55. This week's lucky three-digit numbers are 313, 452, and 506. Once again, those numbers are 313, 452, and 506. These numbers are particularly auspicious this week, and we wish everyone luck in their use. Our thought for today comes from Henry James, American author, born 1843, died 1916, who said, "It's a complex fate being an American." In conclusion, we would like to wish everyone a happy third night of Hanukkah. And by everyone, we mean absolutely everyone, the many and the few.
Cyrus, my order I give you, Jews can go back to your home to build your holy temple again in that land of Palestine. We sung and danced o'er the hot rocky roads back to Eretz Israel's land. We worked with a plow and rake and hoe and blessed the works of our hands. My name is Ezri, the teacher man. I brought my scroll book along. I brought my flock to Israel from that land called Babylon. I'll read you my Talmud, Torah book, and the prophet's dreams to you. Yes, you'll be fertile and multiply if you keep the Torah true. My name is Alexander the Great, more than half of this world is mine. Come stand around my servants all, I'm wrapped on my bed here to die. As king of Syria and Palestine, Antiochus the fourth you'll stand, to kill the Jews if they refuse to worship our idols and gods. My name is Hannah, my firstborn son now stands before this king, guilty of keeping the Sabbath laws by the soldiers I see him slain. It's one by one my seven sons in front of my eyes cut down. For keeping to the Torah laws, I'll pay with my warm blood now. My name is Matathias, I've got five sons in Modine City we dwell. They try to make me bow down to their gods, two of the king's flunkies I killed. Well, 100 or more who'll fight to be Jews did come to these hills with me. On my deathbed, your leader I'll name, 'tis Judah Maccabee. My name is Judah the Maccabee, but the name of the hammer I'm called. We'll pray to God before every fight till all of our enemies fall. Apollonius the governor this day I killed, in his army we did bust. Some few of his soldiers run away with the wind, but most drop dead in the dust. Siron is my name, and from Syria I come to destroy that fool Maccabee. My army was great and his army was small, but he some way did win over me. To deliver the many to the hands of the few, for God this is no trick at all. In a few short hours my army did break, and we flooded this valley with blood. Yes, we flooded this valley with blood. My name is Lysias, I dreamed up a plan to burn the Jews' tents as they slept. I got there, their tents were all bare, and the Maccabees' army had left. He stormed my camp as my soldiers did sleep, killed several thousands in fear. My elephants and horsemen, my foot soldiers, all Judah hammered them down from the rear. My name is Jerusalem, where Judah came back to build up my temple once more. Down the weeds and thorny brush that grows round my windows and doors. Whole stones we'll build and pray to God like a wholehearted Jew. God's love did many, hateful many did drive to the hands of a God-loving few. We found in our temple a little oil jug, just enough for the lamps for one night. That one little jug burned 8 whole days, and it kept our new temple in light. 8 candles we'll light, and a 9th one too, every new year that comes and goes. We'll think of the many in the hands of the few, and thank God that we're seeds of the Jews. Thank God that we're seeds of the Jews.
That was Woody Guthrie with The Many and the Few. Well, you know, you can't expect everything to be, you should be normalized to this by now, that I'm going to do that sort of thing, that I'm going to pull things like that out of the ether. And now, without further ado, my next best trick. I will now, live, before all of you here, I will pull Kai Armand out of the ether. That's right. Kai Armand, the man behind Conjure in the City, a columnist at polytheist.com, a member of the Association of Independent Readers and Workers, excuse me, a prolific, proficient, and powerful man. Now, before your very eyes, drumroll please, ta-da! Is that you, Kai?
Woo! Thank you for getting me out of that ether. It was hot in there.
There you are, ladies and gentlemen. Now, for our next trick, we'll need a common man's pocket watch. Is there a common man in the audience? How are you this evening, Kai?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am doing just grand. It's a nice evening here in Texas. It's dipping down into the 30s, and we still have a little bit of rain going on here. How are things in New York?
You know, it's not too cold, and I like that a great deal. We're getting close to, you know, the holiday that I grew up with, Christmas, and a part of me is a little sad about the lack of snow, so I'm hoping that some shows up to fix or to bring some joy to my inner child in the next few days. We'll see what happens.
Well, I hope you all do get your white Christmas. That would be lovely. I live in Texas, and we have sort of a dusty brown wet Christmas. I'm dreaming of a dusty brown wet Christmas, which is easy to do because we get it every year. So right about now, there may be some folks in the audience who are saying, who the hell is Kai Armand? Well, let me tell you, Kai Armand's a very interesting fellow, ladies and gentlemen. This is, again, the man behind Conjure in the City, which was founded back in 2010, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is correct.
A hoodoo root worker, a shamanic healer, a man involved in many things, a member of the Unnamed Path, a great dear friend, Dr. E, and also, I believe, an initiate into Kimbanda, and as we said earlier, a member of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. But that's all the information as written down, as supplied to me by our fabulous research team here at the LMC Radio Network. Kai, tell, in your own words, tell us, who is Kai Armand?
Well, sure. You know, I would start with what I would say is my biggest accomplishment, which is something that you alluded to a bit earlier in the show, which I thank you for, which was that I was a dresser for the character of Maine when my high school produced it many, many years ago. And that was an accomplishment, I'll tell you, because Maine has, that character has about 17 costume changes. And that was more than, I bit off a lot more than I could chew, but I did pull it off. It was one of my greatest accomplishments, and it's a great musical to boot. I believe I was suspended or had too many absences or something, so I couldn't actually be in the show running around singing and dancing, but I was, you know, given that part by the late, I do believe he's still around, the great Mr. Harrington, my English teacher in middle school. But besides that, yes, I am definitely the proprietor of ConjureInTheCity.com, and it's been a wonderful, bit over 4 years now. It's been wonderful being a member of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers with incredibly wise scholars and colleagues such as yourself. That's it's when you have a spiritual practice that you are providing for the public, I think one of the most fascinating aspects is the way in which you change, your practice changes and evolves as you change and evolve, and mine certainly has. It's grown. I don't think that there's much I've really left behind since I began conjuring the city, besides fear and ignorance, as I've had the wonderful opportunity of working with people around the world, helping to resolve various client conditions, some of which are just really, really outside of the scope of what the public even deems as possible or an issue. And it's a wonderful role being a conjure doctor, a spirit worker, a root doctor, being a shamanic healer, because you're filling in, I think, the gaps where the roles that our society says are necessary, the police officer, the firefighter, the medical doctor, the naturopath, and you're sort of filling in certain gaps in our society, whether or not our culture is at this time holding space for that role. Obviously, the people need it, and we're filling in those spaces, and it's extremely gratifying.
Well, you know, it was fun being able to bring up MAME because, like I said, we do have the finest research team probably in Blog Talk Community Radio. They're an excellent group of people. There's 13 of them who work for us, and they're all former psychics who used to work for the water department. And now they're our research team, and they primarily use a Ouija board is the main thing they do back there. But we don't go back there much. Johnny goes back there sometimes to talk to them. But for the most part, I just get the handouts from them. But speaking of this idea that you just brought up of it bringing about a change, there is a big change coming up for you here Saturday. Now, isn't there?
Is there ever? Yes. I'm going to be the host of a new radio show on the LMC Radio Network, and the show is titled On Sacred Ground.
That's great, and it's now, let me see here, they've handed me this, thanks Johnny. It says here that On Sacred Ground will be premiering this Saturday, December 20th at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, and that your first show is going to be an hour-long show, but that after that you're going to be going to a 90-minute format. Tell us a little bit about On Sacred Ground. Tell us what we can expect out of this show, because I have heard you a number of times on the Lucky Mojo Rootwork Hour. I am aware of some of your other work in other venues and other areas, and I've got to tell everybody out there, listen, this is going to be a hot show, okay? Kai is an incredible performer, an incredible scholar, and a man of great wit and interest. And I had a little bird tell me this afternoon that he's going to be bringing in guests week after week from all over. So tell us a little bit about this, Kai. What brought this about? What's going on with this?
You know, it's a really great question. I had the idea for a show that had a different title and a different theme to it, and I was feeling very excited about it. Usually when I'm excited about a project, I immediately go into iTunes and create a playlist of songs that really inspire the work. I might even make a collage, but I sort of start getting creative with different art forms to try and speak to whatever the work I'm going to do is. So I started doing that with this other show, and I was feeling really excited about it, and then something hit me, something very unexpected that pretty much said, that's not the show you're doing. You're doing this show instead. And it was definitely disconcerting because I hadn't, when the thing that hit me said that, I was saying, whoa, I feel really committed to this idea and I don't think I can change it at this time. But it really wouldn't get off my back. So the next week or so, I started visioning sort of delving deeper into the images that were brought to my mind and that were brought to my table. And I realized that there was much more to this show, much more that could be delivered, much more that could be done through this idea than the one I had previously. So I've been in the process of creating a description for the show that I felt would be as concise as possible for a show that I would say has a really wide range. But the description for the show that I think really covers things is that this show on Sacred Ground will be broadcasting the voices of the land and the deceased. I'll be aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists to do so, while I weave together history, ethnography, and subjective experience to explore the unique promises and challenges of our time. Because we are in a very, very interesting time that has simply never been seen before. And of course, that could be said for all times, but this is our time. We're in a very unique time, and it's our time, and I'm of the belief, and belief is not a word that I like very much, I personally stand on the ground that each and every one of us chose to be here at this time. No matter how hard things get, no matter how confused we might feel about our path or our purpose or what we're doing here, I do very strongly believe that each and every one of us chose to be here at this time for a reason. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that reason is to be the president of the United States, to lead a gigantic coalition, but we chose to be here, and we chose to be here now. And if you look into certain indigenous cosmologies, and traditional cosmologies will even tell you that your ancestors prayed for you to be here, that they prayed you into existence, that they said, oh, you know, great spirit or God, please have someone with these attributes show up. We need someone like that. We need someone like that in our line. We need someone with these gifts to appear. And when we look into these sort of traditional cosmologies, we also see the amount of work that goes into making sure that the human being arrives in a good way, in a healthy way, in a safe way. Songs are sung, rituals are done, because this guest, this honored guest, is arriving. And the great work of preparation is needed to ensure that they arrive in a good way. There's a beautiful song by Sweet Honey in the Rock that the title is escaping me right now, but it's a beautiful song and they are singing a traditional African song. The tribe is here as well, but it's a song that is literally a tribe member singing for the protection of this child that's coming in, and now that the child is in utero, that the prayers need to intensify to really ensure that that child comes in a good way. We might, in the Western world, might not have such rituals going down. We're not actually very good in the Western world at tending the gates of birth, death, and initiation. But I do believe that there are forces that walk with us and that are doing everything they can to protect us and that are helping to ensure that helps to ensure that we got here in a good way. And so what does it mean now that we're here at such a unique time when, as you mentioned earlier, we're experiencing such trouble?
That's true. Well, you know, it sounds like a really exciting and interesting show to me. And I know other people are probably wondering, but I am particularly wondering is, are we going to be able to hear people? Are there going to be some people on the show as it goes on with the fullness of time who are going to be able to come in and talk about, as an example, Kimbanda, who are going to be able to come in and talk a bit about the unnamed path and some of these other areas that I know you have expertise in, that I know you've been involved in, and have the resources and have the connections to that. Are we going to get a taste of that on the show?
Absolutely, absolutely. And with a rather wide-ranging show, I would use the term interdisciplinary. I'm excited about bringing in a wide range of guests from various fields to the show, which is going to be exciting, fun, and I hope a little bit difficult, so that we can have some difficult conversations and some difficult discourse and some troubles in the discourse. I want to wrestle with some big questions, so I definitely hope to have people from these various spiritual traditions on the show. But I would say that the basis of the show, On Sacred Ground, as a starting point, is very much ground. It's very much land. It's very much about bridging the gap between people and the land. There are other gaps that are going to be being bridged as well, the living and the dead, bridging gaps between how we understand identity. A lot of the activist circles, people in a lot of activist circles, people who are trying to understand racism, sexism, homophobia, anti-Semitism, transphobia, often talk about the idea of intersectional identities, that one might be a trans woman who is Jewish and also of color, and how various efforts might be made in one direction that perhaps are detrimental in another direction. So what does it mean for people to be standing at the crossroads of various intersectional identities? I also see this show bridging gaps between what we think is going on in the world and what is going on in the world, as well as the objective and the subjective, what we, I think, in our society would call fact and personal experience. And I think that's where the show is going to be some of the most fun, talking about both events and places and people in the world, but not just from a historical or biographical or ethnographic place, but also from a subjective place. What does it mean that there's someone who, you know, Wikipedia tells us is dead, that they lived and died, and then they died in 1993 or 1876, but we have all these people all over the world who are saying that they're talking to them. What does that mean? And can we bring together a biographer, someone who wrote a book on that person, along with someone who talks to that person at their boveda or ancestor altar? Can we bring those conversations together and have a trouble? Can we wrestle with a discourse and the question that would bring up with, and maybe even end a show like that with an even broader view than I or any one of these guests might have been able to bring to the table, now that we've brought all of these conversations and viewpoints and angles to the table at once.
And so you're sort of, what I'm hearing here is that you're sort of going to be behind the wheel of this ship, of this vehicle, taking that show out into those liminal limits, as it were, and bringing back the tales of that to all of us who will be tuning in each and every week. That sounds really, that's really an exciting idea. And also, it makes for a very interesting sort of place, and almost like a crossroads in between yourself and the beautiful lineup of other shows on the LMC radio network. So you're kind of manning that what was the word you used? Intersectionality, I believe.
Intersectionality, definitely.
Yeah. And so you're just kind of captaining the helm of your ship right out into those liminal waters and doing that. That sounds really, really, really exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. But let me ask you the question that everyone's going to ask, because here's the thing, and you and I know this. You know, there are people who you come with something, you say, hey, I've got the thing, and they're like, man, I can't wait to get in line for the thing. And those are the people we're always happy to see, because they're eager to come and sit at the table and participate. But what do you have to say for the guy who's in the back going, why would I ever want to listen to that show? What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? What, come on, I can go, you know, play paper dolls or cut out, you know, editorials from the newspaper. Why should I waste my Saturday afternoon listening to this stuff? What are you bringing to them? That's, you know, because they're listening right now, man. They've got their little sweaty ears pressed up against their speakers, or they will be listening with sweaty ears in the future out of the archives. So tell all the sweaty-eared folk why they should turn in. Why should they tune in on Saturday?
Those sweaty ears, I know them all too well. I would say that this is
We've all had run-ins with them, yes.
I would say that this is a show that's about being here, about being present on planet Earth. There's nothing going on planet Earth right now that isn't affecting all of us. And, you know, MTV is going to tell us otherwise. Most definitely the shopping network is going to tell us otherwise. but we're here, and no matter our ability to be blind to what's going on is, I believe, shattered more and more every day to what's going on in these intersectionalities and how intersectional our world is and how interconnected we are to not only each other, but to the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and to the past. And I think that is really one of the things that this show is really about most, is that the past is the present. And that is something that we, I believe, especially in Western society, simply don't get. We love the idea of it sometimes. We will draw abstractions. We will, you know, it's a nice idea, but it's so true. We are the culmination of everything that has happened. And when we look at some of the writings, say, by Karl Marx about capitalism, he talks about how capitalism, which is the economic structure that we in the West are experiencing, requires a sense of abstract value. We have to tear something from its context. We have to tear something from its context, its value, its innate value, in order to put that price tag on it and say, well, this is worth this, and this is how I'm going to make my money, and my employees are going to make their money, and this is how I make the greatest profits, et cetera. And, you know, we say, oh, that's so sad, but I can't live without my iPhone, et cetera, that's, et cetera, et cetera. The issue is that we're not realizing that we ourselves are also experiencing the same thing. We are so caught off from that which makes us us. And we're walking around not understanding how we've arrived at this moment as a culture, how we've arrived at this moment as individuals. We are so very much cut off from our origins and from our context, and we need this gap to be bridged so that we can step forward in a good way.
So the show is gonna. So if I follow you, you're talking about you're kind of gonna be shaking the trunk of the tree a bit, and trying to snap people into a place of being here now, out of the MTV shopping network sleepiness, and to kind of sit up and prick their ears, as it were, and be present and be participants in what's going on in a variety of communities and in a variety of paths around them.
Absolutely.
And by the way, folks, just to let you know, there are a large selection of lovely rhinestone encrusted Now You Know Show pens that are available for as low as 14 payments of $17.99. But that's a pretty big, that's a big bill to fill. And I have to tell you, that same little bird who brought me information about what we were speaking about earlier also told me, oh, and by the way, because I know that inquiring minds want to know, It was, in fact, a yellow-breasted seersucker that brought me this information. And that little bird let me know that you're going to be dealing with some really, I mean, you're going to be dealing with some really kind of controversial topics, some kind of hot. I mean, you're not going to be shying away from some serious moments in history and some serious things that are going on in some communities today. And I think that's
interesting.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? You're going in.
We're going in. And I'm thrilled about it. You know, as I've been writing down upcoming shows, typing them into my handy-dandy Evernote app on my computer, I keep thinking, man, oh, man, what's going to, you know. But it's also, it's coupled by this thrill because I know that these conversations need to happen and that they can happen, and why not have them across with people across fields? Why not be able to talk about someone who has passed away, or you know, someone who's lived a life of legend, not only from a biographical place, but from a spiritual place, an understanding of, well, what were this person's values, and you know, how are those values showing up in the life of someone who today works with this person as a helping spirit, or what are people doing to resolve the energetic issues of a landscape, of some place where a great deal of trauma happened that we keep, you know, hearing about, or that we know about, it's written in our history books, and we shake our heads, but we know that something needs to be done, that's, you know, that place is off, something's not right, you know, no one should go there, we still have to go there, we're still crossing the Atlantic Ocean despite, you know, what happened, you know, all those years ago. What does it mean that there are people who are tackling this conversation? There are coalitions who are tackling this conversation. They're setting up, you know, memorial sites and making sure that the burial grounds are there and the cemeteries. But then we have incredible people, people who are shamans, for instance, like Christina Pratt of the Last Mask Center, and the very well-known author Sandra Ingerman, who are doing work of resolving energetic issues when it comes to land and moving spirits on from one place to another, spirits that had been bound to earth. What does it mean to be able to bring together someone who's written about a trauma from an academic point of view and someone who might be working on that trauma from the living community space that they had here in Brooklyn, New York, for instance, and then someone else who is participating in rituals to help resolve those energies? I want to bring them all together. Let's all sit at the table. What can we learn from one another? And then what can you, the listener, learn to do to help this happen as well? Or, and if you're not going to be helping out with that particular issue, maybe there's a modality or that you can learn to help yourself that one of these practitioners is working with. Or maybe there's a book you really need to be picking up. I am excited about this. I'm excited about having this discourse across disciplines that I think is the work that we need.
Now, I've also heard that this is not just going to be, you know, just week after week after week of guest after guest, of interview after interview. I've also heard that you're going to be teaching a little bit, guiding a little bit in the topics that you have talked about, that you're going to sort of be guiding us through the arenas that you're bringing guests in to talk about and these doors that you're opening up for us in that manner. And
as in
the, yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, as in sort of prefacing what modality, for instance, a practitioner that I'm bringing on the air is working in, sort of bringing that to the table. Yes, there will absolutely be interviews with people, simply getting to know who they are before I say, so how are you tackling that big oil spill? You know, absolutely. It's the work that people are doing. People are spending their whole lives focused, very highly focused on one subject, you know, very high, you know, whether that be an event in history, or whether that be someone who passed away with a life of legend, or just a very interesting life.
Let Let me ask you something right here. I would like to know, and I really want this to get out, and I really want this to be preserved, as it were, for the archives, because you know there are going to be people who are going to come in and listen to this later, and I want them to be able to understand what we're talking about. When you say someone who lived a life of legend, what do you mean? Who do you mean? Could you give us some examples of that?
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, the premiere of this show is happening this Saturday, December 28th at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. It is going to be about two individuals who I would say lived lives of legend. We remember them. We refer to them. We make memes about them. We are making memes about them left and right on Facebook and sharing them and putting little, you know, heart emojis. and hopefully the quotes that we're using really were things that they said while they were alive. I'm talking about people who they died, and when they died, they left behind, they were more than some of their parts. They left behind a life that was an inspiration due to sacrifices that they made, due to courage that they had, due to their willingness to follow vision that we can be inspired by.
Give us some names.
This first episode is going to be focused on fathers, Sitting Bull, and Father Black Hawk.
Wow.
That's the first episode that's going to be looking at these two lives.
Well, that's going to be something. So, Father Sitting Bull and Father Black Hawk. Wow. Well, you know, thank you so much, Kai, for taking the time to come over here. And I know... You know, I know it's kind of a wild and woolly trip out here to the LMC studios, and I really appreciate that, you know, you braved the guard dingoes and all the rest of the stuff we've got going on out here.
We got to get back to that ether now.
Yeah, all right. You know, hey, take care of the ether for us, and let us know how it's doing, and say hello to its wife and kids for us. And you take care, man, okay?
Thank you so much for having me, Professor Porterfield.
Thank you for being here. Well, folks, there you have it. Right there. On sacred ground. This Saturday, that's Saturday the 20th of December at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. A brand new show on the LMC. Radio Network, bringing us up to six shows a week. Oh, yes, that's right. Blowing and going. That's right, taking names and conquering. You better believe that we are on the grow here at the LMC Radio Network. So won't you please tune in again, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, on the 20th of December, that's this Saturday, to listen to Kai Armand and his new show on sacred ground, because I can tell you that he is going to be leading us, if not to sacred ground, then at least trying to get us all to higher ground.
Keep on learning.
Oh, yeah, that was Stevie Wonder with Higher Ground. And that one went out just for my good friend Kai. Thanks for being on the show, brother. You know, I am so happy that each and every one of you could have been here to hear the interview and to get ready for the new show. You know, all we're trying to do is just aid it, just help it, just give it a little boost up. You know, just kind of like, just sort of sending out a signal.
What's that signal? Why, that's the LMC Radio Network on the air! The LMC Radio Network, broadcasting around the globe, bringing news, information, education, and entertainment to all! It's the LMC Radio Network in the Vanguard!
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and poetical justice broadcasters spanning a wide range of topics. Tune in Sundays for the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. It features panel discussions on traditional African-American hoodoo spellcasting with members of the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, plus free readings and magical rootwork advice for live call-in clients. This is the longest-running conjure show on radio and may be heard from 3 o'clock to 4:30 Pacific Time Sunday afternoons. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa and Ancestor Healing. This is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, welcoming special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic traditional religions. You can hear Candela's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 Pacific Time. And on Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, where the stars at night are big and bright, there to school ya so no one can fool ya, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. All the shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in beautiful Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And now, on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, tune in for the brand new and exciting On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand as he guides us through all the liminal spaces and intersectionality between communities and issues each and every week. That was, of course, our chief engineer here at the LMC Radio Network, Nagashiva, and we want to thank him. Thank you, Shiva, as always, every week. He's Johnny on the spot with the... What? Not you, Johnny. I was talking about, we're not doing this again. I don't care that he taped his. That's not, he's in freaking California. You're here. No, you have to do it. Don't you cross your arms. Johnny, you have to do it. Johnny, we only got 26 minutes left in the show. Come on, do the spot. I'm turning my mic off and I'm turning your mic on.
I don't want to do it. I don't care. I don't see why he can't. Oh, what do you mean I'm live? I don't know what. Rit, you did it? Hello, folks. It's Johnny once again for the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in beautiful Forestville, California. Hey, do you need finely made spiritual goods? Why not come on down to the Lucky Mojo Curio Company? Bring the kids. They'll love the train set. Or take hours to guide yourself through the beautiful antique shelves and aisles, looking at all of the beautiful products that we have here, made on location or imported from around the very four corners of the world. Or take a brief moment to catch your breath and say a prayer in the world's smallest church, right outside the doors of the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. That's right, friends. If you need it and Lucky Mojo doesn't have it, then you don't really need it. Come on down today and enjoy all the fine people and products here at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company of Forestville, California. Or if you can't make the trip, why not just check it out online by going to luckymojo.com. You'll be glad you did. Back to you, Professor Porterfield. But seriously, I don't know why I can't type it. I could totally type it.
Thanks, Johnny. Getting to be a bit of a pain in the ass. But, I mean, he's always here. It's kind of weird, actually. You know, Johnny's always here. I mean, when I come in the mornings and he's here, and when I leave, he's... I'm going to ask him about that someday. Up next, we're going to be talking very briefly about some of the secrets of scriptural sorcery. That's right. But first, a little moment by request just for a dear friend who asked for it. What did she ask for? She asked for just a taste of Dr. Love. That's right, my most patient patients. It is the doctor, and good evening. I've got my little black bag here with all my potions, lotions, ointments, and unguents for every chill, spill, and thrill that you need, baby. So just sit right back, relax, lean in real close to the speaker and tell the doctor where it hurts. Why, for the next few moments, I'm running a mid.
Well, you wake up in the morning, you hear the work bell ring, and I march you to the table. In a pan, but you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special
That was, of course, Muddy Waters with Got My Mojo Working. It's been a hot, heavy, and fast show, and we don't have much time left. Oh, no, my darling, darling listeners. But we're going to try to bring it to it in the time we have left. Last week, a longtime listener, first-time writer, Brother Raccoon, wrote in and asked us about Hoyt's Cologne, Florida Water, and Kananga Water. And we've been breaking it down. We did Hoyt's last week. We're going to do Florida Water this week. And then in the future, we'll do Kananga Water because we've got Christmas and New Year's coming up. And we may do something a little different, a little more fun for those occasions. So let's talk quickly tonight about Florida Water. Florida Water. Well, Florida Water is an American version of Eau de Cologne or Cologne water. It has a citrus base as a Cologne water. It shifts the emphasis to sweet orange rather than the lemon or neroli of the original Cologne water. And it has spicy notes, including such things as lavender and clove. And the name refers to the fabled Fountain of Youth, which was said to be located in Florida, as well as the flowery nature of the scent. It is from the 19th century, commercially prepared, and you see it from nowadays, Murray and Lehman. And I can tell you that the Murray and Lehman Florida Water label, which is a fantastic, oh God, you've got to see it. It's just this great label. Was designed by the famous French designer Dumaret, who chose to depict the flower, potpourri, birds, troubadours, and that Fountain of Youth because of the fresh, pleasant fragrance of Murray and Lehman's Florida water, and also from the knowledge of the Spaniard, Ponce de Leon, who discovered Florida in 1512 while searching for the Fountain of Youth. It was introduced into the U.S. market on February 14th, 1808, and immediately it gained popularity and approval amongst the consumer base and became a worldwide well-known and beloved seller. And it is now in its roughly 180th year. Now, it was also used as a refresher to the sick room. And you would literally pour out this into a small dish and use it to, quote, refresh sick rooms or sour rooms. And it became associated with a number of different aspects. Primarily, it became associated in hoodoo through a variety of sources with veneration of the dead and one's ancestors, as well as, this goes back to that refreshing of the sick room, as well as cleaning away messes. To clean away, and you all probably are familiar enough with hoodoo to know what I mean when I say clear away a mess, I'm talking about a spiritual mess. And this puts it, again, in the family of other products, such as Chinese floor wash, which have a very aromatic and a citrus-based smell. So we are talking up here about the cleanliness of citrus as opposed to the cleanliness of pine, which comes into hoodoo out of a Native American source. And someday on the Now You Know show, we're going to be talking about pine salt. So tonight we're talking about that Florida water. You can still to this day purchase Florida water not just at the Botanica or the candle shop or the magical shop or places like that, but in a lot of places in the country, including glorious Denton, Texas, where I am located, you can buy it literally down at the drugstore. I can walk right down to the drugstore. I can walk down to my local grocery store even and pick up Florida water right off of the shelf. That is an enduring legacy, a statement to the enduring legacy of Florida water and its popularity. It is also incredibly popular in China. and has taken on something of a retro life in China, where a lot of men and some women have started wearing it again because of its potent scent. Now, interestingly enough, there is another brand of Florida called Two Girls, which comes from China and also has a fantastic label featuring two Chinese girls, two Chinese children in costumes in a floral landscape. So this is across the line here, folks. You see Florida water used lots and lots of places. But the thing you need to know is that Florida water and Kananga water aren't really the only way to make them. Meaning it's not just that. It's not like, well, there is this, it's from these people, and that's that. No, it's not a one and only kind of thing. There are a lot of old standard formulas for this, from Henley's formulas and Fortune and formulas, etc., just to name a few of different recipes for compounding and making Florida water and Kananga water, which we'll talk about at a different time. But this is a part of the backdrop, what I like to call the scent backdrop of hoodoo. The best way I can describe that is my sweet little wife comes home some days and walks into the house and lifts her little head and puts her cute little nose up in the air, takes a deep whiff, and she goes, "Oh, it smells like hoodoo in here." But I have to tell you that I get a grin and a giggle about the fact that every time I go to get my hair cut, and I happen to get my hair cut, which is rarely, at an old-style barbershop, and when we go in there, she lifts her little head up and says the same thing. "It smells like hoodoo in here." Because these colognes, these products, these things that we think of as belonging to the drugstore or the barbershop, more aptly, are a part of hoodoo. They had a belief in them of luck, prosperity, cleanliness, cleaning, and veneration. Veneration to ancestors, veneration to the dead. And I want you to particularly consider for a moment this interesting place that Florida water occupies, where it stands in between Hoyt's cologne and Kananga water. Kananga water is very much used in the veneration of ancestors and to feed the dead and to honor the dead. And Hoyt's is very much used for luck as a gambling hand rub and other things that we talked about last week. And here is Florida water, standing between the two of them with its beautiful melody of scent notes. And it is lucky. It is cleaning, it is cleansing, it is purifying, and it is venerating the dead, feeding the dead. And so here it stands in between the two. I would like you to go off and think about that a bit, and think about how a cologne water from the late 1800s came to such a place. So, just give that a few brief moments of thought. Also, as always, if you would like some Florida water and you don't have it in your area, why not slide over to the Lucky Mojo Cure Company? They can get it for you. As we go on, we'll be talking about some other colognes on various other nights of the show. We'll be talking about Jockey Club and some other things, and this relationship of how some colognes relate to the sporting life and the idea of being slick with the ladies and slick with gambling. But we'll do that as we may and just sort of, you know, trudge along until we come to the end. And I just don't know what to do. I mean, this is it. We're right here at the wall now. This is it. I want to go on, but I can't. This is it. This is the end.
Ah, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
Texas and go to Texarkana and double back to Fort Worth. Come on down to Dallas, turn Carl Katie, coming through the territory in Kansas City, and Kansas City to St. Louis, and St. Louis, Chicago. I'm on my way, but I'm doing well. On the TP, leaving Fort Worth, Texas, going to Dallas, Hotel, Grand Sling, Silver Lake, Mineola, Tyler, Longview, Joseph, Marshall, Little Sandy, Big Sandy, Texas Cattle, and double badges. Hello, Greenville, Seales, Denison, South McAllister, Territory, Muskoka, Wagner, Austin County.